It's the Redford Cowboy. I would be remiss if I did not mention a band, and this is now the fourth installment of this little series here, and that band would be Led Zeppelin. Oh boy, what can I say? Where do I start? Those of you that know me, this was a big one. And I'll tell you where it all started, believe it or not. It was my cousin, Billy. He lived in Grand Haven at the time, and I went and visited him on and off through the years, and he had a Led Zeppelin box set sitting up on display in his room downstairs. And I remember it vividly. It was like this thing, this forbidden thing that I was not allowed to look at, listen to, peer into, inquire about, because, oh my goodness, Led Zeppelin, wow. And this got a hold of me early on and big time. I can tell you quite honestly, probably 1993 and 1994, for two solid years, I listened to Led Zeppelin all the time. I memorized every little detail about them, their songs, the albums. I knew every album, every song that was on every album memorized in a row. I knew when every album came out every year. I could look at a picture and tell you what era or what year that picture was taken. I was, to put it mildly, I was obsessed with Led Zeppelin. It was probably the first band that I got over the top massively obsessed with. And it all started with that box set. It was a 4-CD box set that came out in 1990. And it was just called Led Zeppelin. And on the cover was a grain field, and it was bright orange and rustic colors, and it had on it, you know, these symbols that were cut into the grain field, like alien symbols, and it had a shadow of a Led Zeppelin overhead, and that was the cover. And I wanted that box set so bad, and my parents would not allow it. They did not want me to have it, to get into this music. But I begged and I pleaded and I bothered them and I harassed them for years and years until they finally caved in and gave in, because they knew I was not going to stop. And I bought it. I saved up all my money and I bought it for $48, I think, or $44 up at Sears in Livonia. They had it. I don't know how Sears had a music section back then, but they did, and it was on sale. And I convinced my dad to let me buy it, and he reluctantly gave in as I just wore him down. And I remember my parents, they must have been so sad for weeks and weeks that I had this box set. And I studied it, I pored over it, I memorized it, I read it, I reread it, every little liner note, every little detail, every photograph. Oh my gosh. But before I even had that box set, I used to listen to Led Zeppelin bootleg every day when I got home from school. This dude named Tony in eighth grade, in ninth grade, he made me a cassette of Led Zeppelin songs, and I would go blast them in my room. And my room had a large window that overlooked the street, the front of our house, so I could tell when my mom or dad was coming home. So I would leave the window, the blinds open, and I would play the music and the drapes, you know, I would leave the drapes open, play the music, Led Zeppelin, the minute that I got home from school. And actually, whenever I was alone in my house, I blasted it in my room. And then when my parents came home and saw their car coming home, I would turn off the music. But anyways, I wasn't keeping anything from them. They knew that I had it. They knew I loved it. And they were worried and concerned for me and for my soul and for this new obsession of rock and roll that was taking place in my young adolescence. So much so, they got so concerned. True story. They talked to two pastors on staff at my church, Temple Baptist. One was Paul Black, the music minister, who's my best friend Jeff Black. It was his dad. They went to him and they said, "Hey, we're really concerned about Carl, our son. Will you please talk to him? He's getting really, really heavy into this rock and roll thing. And the worst part of all, he's really digging Led Zeppelin. He's hardcore into it. He's listening to it day and night. He's obsessive." And they were concerned, man. There was no going back. My mom on Christmas tried to get me Michael W. Smith and Stephen Curtis Chapman and Audio Adrenaline cassettes. It wasn't happening. This music did not and could not compare to the mighty Led Zeppelin. So they talked to the music pastor and said, can you have a word with him? He's not listening to us. He has a one-track mind. Will you please talk to him? And then they asked my youth pastor, Kevin Winningham. He pulled me aside. We were in the basement of the Temple having a meal. I think a Wednesday night. We used to go there and have dinner before church started. And we were eating dinner there, sitting across from one another. And he said, hey, man, you know, I heard you've been listening to some music, some rock and roll, maybe some Led Zeppelin. And I said, yeah. He goes, you need to be careful, man. I don't think you should be listening to that. It might not be the best for you. And just beware, be careful of rock and roll. I knew he was a little uncomfortable trying to talk with me because he was trying to be cool, but also trying to honor my parents' request. And I said to him, well, Kevin, I mean, you like it too, right? I mean, you know it's good music, right? I turned the tables on him, and he paused for a few minutes and or for a few moments, and he was like, "Yeah, you know, it is good. I understand. I get it. But don't listen to it, you know." And I caught him. He knew it was good, and it was humorous because he couldn't deny it. And the same thing happened for Paul Black, the music pastor. He told me, "Hey, man, don't listen to that rock and roll." I said, "Well, when you were growing up in the 60s and 70s and stuff, you listened to it too, right? You like Led Zeppelin. You knew it was good, right?" And so I caught him, in his own argument, and he was like, he did the same thing. He paused. He stumbled over his words. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's, I know what you mean. It's good. But no. And so he was kind of trapped because, I did have a point. I mean, it was good rock and roll. It was fantastic, awesome, well-crafted, well-played music. He couldn't deny that. It was powerful. It was heavy. It was undeniable. It was undescribable. And there was no band that made music like Led Zeppelin. And boy, it was my obsession for a good 2 years, from 93, 94, leading into 95, when something very, very significant happened, which we'll definitely get into later in the summer of 95, when my whole world changed. So I would say that Led Zeppelin did, in fact, blow my mind. I don't know if it changed my life like another band did that I will explain to you in an upcoming episode. But yes, Led Zeppelin was my first heavy obsession. Not good. I still have an interesting relationship with Zeppelin. I could listen to them for many, many, many years because I knew I was in too deep. So I was majorly convicted by God. Throughout all my Led Zeppelin CDs, throughout all my box sets and my cassettes and my bootlegs and my 8-tracks and my vinyl, my records, I got rid of them all. The classic Christian clean your room, clean your music album collection out. I got rid of it all, threw away so much Led Zeppelin. And I never went back and purchased more Led Zeppelin, to be honest. I never did. But I'll listen to it occasionally. I don't have as it doesn't have that strong grasp and pull and its claws in me like it did once did when I was a teenager. I don't know if I can look back and say I'm looking back with fondness of it and say, oh, that was awesome, that was great times. But it was those songs were potent. They were powerful, and I don't think anybody made as many riffs like Jimmy Page and like Zeppelin did. The quality of those riffs were kind of undeniable. But yeah, that was it. Led Zeppelin box set, baby.